Om Shri Sai Ram. I offer my most humble and loving pranams at the lotus feet of beloved Bhagwan, Shri Sathya Sai Baba. Sai Ram to everybody. It has been, as I said before, it has been a pleasure and a privilege to be immersed with Bhagwan's thoughts and his memories for last 2 days. We had wonderful time together. Actually, we originally thought of having it as a workshop, but unfortunately we could not prepare that well. So we'll take it as we go and see how it unfolds. My intention was that we could have some interactive sessions, because I feel sometimes it's too much that we keep standing and keep talking here, so without knowing what is happening there, other side, you know. So I would love to hear you all. I wish I could be sitting there and listening, but today I think it's my part to be this side of the table. But anyway, thinking about Swami is always a pleasure, and it always reminds us about the purpose of life we have, the role which we play in life, and how Bhagwan has come into our lives to do what. When we thought of this topic as, are we ready for Swami, this came as a different approach to us. I'll just give you a little bit of why we thought of this. A thought came to us one day while talking. If suppose Bhagwan announces tomorrow, my dear devotees, I'm coming to United States of America tomorrow. I'm sure most of us still don't believe it. But somehow in my corner of my heart, I have this hope and faith that he will come once, physically. I'm not saying he appears, he does all that stuff. But on a physical level, I have certain, I don't know why, but I still believe that our Lord would travel one day, like a royal travel. So when he does that conquering tour of traveling around the world, and he says, my dear child, next week I'm landing in America. And Jeremy, he's coming to your house. I can see smiles on your faces. So I can imagine there's a joy, right? Now, how many of us can say that we are ready to receive him? I'm happy at least few hands came up that we are ready to receive him. How many of us really understand what it is to receive him? Few more hands. Good. If you invite me to your house, what do you do? Okay, let's make it more simple. You say, Abhimanyu, you're here for a night. Can you come down to my house? Auntie said, I'll cook sambar for you. So nice, huh? So somebody's inviting me to their house for lunch or a dinner. What do? Let's go step by step. I'm a little different person. I take the step by step. Auntie, what will you do? My God, clean the house for me? I'm honored. But at least let us start. Okay, she says clean the house so that at least I should not have a wrong impression, right? So okay, so she will clean the house first. What else, Auntie, will you do? You'll just cook the meals? Any other? Cooking is not only their forte. The best chefs in the world are men. So I'm coming to your house today evening. What will you do? Lovely. He wants to discuss Swami with me. Absolutely gorgeous. That is a discussion channel. But how will you receive me? Huh? We are going 2 steps forward. First step forward. How will you receive me? You said you will clean the house. Then what? That means you will not start the bhajan. That means for bhajan you will invite everybody. You will prepare the altar. No, you will sing and I will sing? Oh my God. Imagine me singing, auntie. Come on. Oh, while cooking she will eat. Okay, that is okay. Once that is cooking part of it. What more? Do you see here? Yes, auntie. How will you know that? How will you know that? Pardon me? Okay, let me help you further. You said you will see to it that I'm comfortable. How do you know that I'm comfortable? He's passing the buck to the God here. Come on. Lord, you take care. Now it's my headache. It's over. Om Sai Ram. Done. One of the doctors went to Swami and he said, Swami, like we have some problems, right, you know. So Swami said, when a patient comes to you, what do? He said, Swami, we diagnose him. He said, very good. Then what do? Step by step. He's like a very systematic God, right? Step by step. So he said, what do next? He said, Swami, we diagnose him and then we treat him with medicines or whatever is required. Bhagavan says, then what do? He says, Swami, if it's complicated, we go for an operation. He said, suppose you don't find a remedy, then what do? He says, Swami, then we say, Sai Ram. So Swami said, that is what you do. When you do your job and you're finished, then you say, Sai Ram, and you leave it to me, then I'll take care. Then why do you worry? So the question of worry doesn't arise there, right? You do your duty and they say, Sai Ram, that's it, done. So then the ball goes to his court. But here, let's go step by step. So you call me and you say, I should be comfortable. How would you know that I'm comfortable or not? No, I'm a very good Andy, I'm a very good guest. Even if you give me a food, I'll still smile at you.
By knowing him very well.
By knowing him very well. How would you know me very well? Thank you. So now he has found out. One step is covered. So you will find out about me first. What I like, what I don't like. Do I take more sugar, less sugar? Do I take more spices, not spices? You make a lovely food for me and say, sorry, I'm a diabetic. You're done. Right? Then whole cooking is wasted. So first of all, you have to find out my personality, my liking, my dislikes, and then you cook. Right? So first step is knowing me. Before you invite me, you should know me. At least basic thing. Or you'll call me, Abhimanyu, sorry, do you like salt? Do you like spices? Andhra pickles are very strong. Do you like them? And I say, I love it, auntie. Here she goes. Imagine I go to a house and they give me a bland food and I love spices. Then what happens? Okay, so first step is done. So first of all, before you call me, fix up a time, you want to know about me. Then what do we do? We don't know. Can you prepare yourself this afternoon if I'm coming to your house at 4 o'clock? Without knowing me? God bless me. So even if you have to call an insignificant person like me to home, you can see that you have to go through a certain process in mind. Very simple, right? You have to know this Abhimanyu calls tastes, his liking, his style. Maybe I want to take a nap after I have a lovely meal, you know? I don't know. You have to find out that. Maybe you have to see that we have to call his friends, she said, right? Somebody whom I can enjoy talking to. So to invite me, a very, very insignificant person, to lunch for your house, you go through certain steps in mind. Whether you articulate it or not, but we do go through it. Now imagine calling the God of the universe home. And that too, not as a divine being alone, whom you can take privileges with and say, my heart is pure, so he can sit on the floor. Doesn't work like that. When Lord comes physically, there is a required decorum. He deserves certain standards. Okay, let's go one step forward. Bhagavan's example, I'll quote you. I don't know that you like him or not, but still, the President of America, Mr. Bush, invites you and says, very smart, handsome man, on next Monday morning at 9:30, you have an appointment with me. So what do you do? Pardon me? Okay, let's choose a president of any world whom you like more. Okay, but anyway, say you have an appointment with the president of anybody, or prime minister of India. Okay, thank you very much. You have a dignitary's appointment. What do you do? You'll start thinking at least a week ahead, if not less. Okay, Bhagwan goes example. He says, you may look at your suits and wardrobe and see if anything is good or not. Maybe you go for buying a new wardrobe, you know, because you don't know. It may not fit in. You're like, come on, man, crease. And then you will sanitize the whole room for the week and say, children, don't enter there. That's no entry area. And then you will, 2 days before, you'll go to the dry cleaners, get it done, hang it in the air and say, don't touch it now, okay? And then next day on Saturday night, you'll again dust it and see everything is clean, neat and clean. Shoe is polished neatly. Don't eat too much that you don't get up in the morning. You know, that kind of stuff. Alarm clock. If you have wives, you'll kill them. Wake me up early morning. You know I have an appointment with the president. Don't you realize the importance? I'm so important person. I'm meeting the president of America, for heaven's sake. Don't you realize that? So good. Children, sleep early. Every day you sleep at 12 o'clock, doesn't matter. Today, shut up because I have to get up in the morning. So that's how your days pass before that beautiful Monday morning comes. And what happens on Sunday night? You don't sleep. In anticipation, you don't sleep. There's butterflies all over, so you don't know what is happening. 9:30 is the appointment. 5 o'clock, you're up. And then what happens? 6 o'clock, you're in the president's palace. And what happens there? Nobody's receiving you there, right? The guards and dogs are waiting for you. They'll sniff you, scan you, and put you in the lawns. Sit down there, sir. So your day starts at 7 o'clock in president's house, standing outside, getting scanned, scrutinized, snuffed by dogs, and you're standing there. At 8 o'clock, another guard comes and says, sir, please walk in this side. And you follow him. You can't even argue with that security guard. He'll throw you out of the place. He can put you behind the bars. You don't know. Security is very strict in America, right? So they'll take you inside. Next lawn. You come from one lawn to another lawn. So 8:30, you come inside, and then second guard comes in. Please follow me. So you go to the next hall of the president's block. Now all of you are standing there. Do you talk to each other? No. Because you're awestruck with the building. In anticipation of president, you're quiet. Even if you talk to each other, you're whispering. And you all are pretending to be very important because you are meeting the important person. Because you are meeting the important person, you feel important and you start acting like one. So you're quiet. You don't talk to each other. Mark of respect for the president also, right? Whether you like him or not, but he's the president, so you have to respect him. So you sit down there. At 9 o'clock, another guard comes and says, please come in, sir. Then you are taken into the second room where you are exactly going to have an audience with the president. Correct? So we go to the next room. And there we all are standing in queue, waiting for the president of America to land. At exactly at 9:28, because they walk with the clock. Poor fellow can't breathe himself, so he has to go with the clock. 9:28 sharp, and person comes, a secretary of state, I don't know what they call him here. They come and says, president is arriving, please stand up. You're already standing up, so you get alerted. Okay, you can't sit because your crease will get spoiled, obviously. So you are standing anyways. So your suit should look good. You're standing, 9:28, 9:29. Breathing has stopped. You're not breathing also. Come on, relax. No problem. 9:29, door opens, crack. 9:30, the president walks in straight. He's very punctual. He can't help it. He's like a robot, you know, running around. Everywhere is timed. So he comes at sharp 9:30, and the person next to president is introducing, Mr. President, he's so-and-so from Buffalo, from Detroit, from Chicago, and he's shaking hands. Hello. If you have given him good donation, he may smile extra at you. Otherwise, he won't even smile properly to you. And if he anticipates that there's some fund coming in, he may remember you for sometimes 2 more days till the elections are over. So like that, he passes through. And you stand, you take a picture, you smile very big, give a big, beautiful smile. All 32 should be visible nicely. And the president walks out. 9:35, show is over. 9:40, you're again, please, sir, walk this way, and out of the hall. 9:40, you're back to the lawns. driving home, thinking you met the President of America. You put the picture on the walls of your house to show your generations, you know, I met Mr. President. He knows me. Now, let's rewind. A president whom you prepared so much in anticipation, do you think in a real sense he even remembers your name? Forget about the face. No. Unless and until you give him donations every regularly, he won't even remember you. Bhagwan says this question to us. For one person, maybe a state head of any country, if you have to prepare so much, knowing very well that that person may not even know you, that person may not even come to your help or rescue or attention, nothing, you prepare so much, imagine how much you have to prepare if you have to meet the Lord. And instead, what do? We walk into the darshan, none shaven also sometimes, right? Why? Because we philosophize very beautifully there. Bhagwan calls it convenient philosophy. Oh, Swami sees my heart, not my face. So I can go stinking there and people are saying, come on guy, at least take a bath and come. No, Swami sees my heart. If he sees your heart, sit at home and think of heart only. When you come out, we have to maintain the respect and the decorum of the place. Why do we forget that? Bhagwan doesn't expect us to buy a new wardrobe, get expensive clothes. He only likes that when you come, whatever you are, be neat, be good. That's enough. I can wear a cotton shirt and pant, but as long as it is neatly ironed and set, that's enough for him. Why do we philosophize at that moment with God and say, oh, he knows my heart, so I can stink? It doesn't work like that. The philosophies are very different. So when we are inviting Bhagwan, life changes. Now people wonder sometimes, right? When somebody narrates a story that Swami walked out of the photograph. It happens. It happens today more often nowadays. Bhagwan walking out of the photograph, walking out of the wall, and he chats, sits down with you and goes back. I'll tell you a story about one girl. She was from Philippines, I believe, from a very poor family. She was like our youth girls, you know, always participating in activities and passionate about Bhagwan. Unfortunately, they didn't have financial strength to travel to Parthi. One year, their center group planned a trip to Parthi, like our Parthi Yatras we do. They planned a trip. Now, this girl got excited. She said, wow, what a chance to go to Bhagwan. And she goes to her parents and says, Father, group has planned a trip to Puttaparthi. Can I go? The father is sad and he says, daughter, it is a last minute notice for me. I don't think we can manage the funds right now. Maybe next time. So I'm sorry. So the girl feels rejected, but she continues to be part of the group. And the day comes when the group travels to Puttaparthi. She does everything for the group as if she is going, knowing very well that she may not be able to make it. And the group leaves for Puttaparthi. This girl is heartbroken. She sees them off at the airport and comes back home. She's home alone at that time, locks herself in the puja room, in her worship room, and starts crying. Because she feels that the only chance in life she had to go to Puttaparthi is missed because of money. So she's not able to hold herself and she cries. She doesn't know how long, but it seems some hours she has cried. You know, when you cry too much, you get exhausted, you're tired. And then she gets up, when she's over with her crying, she gets up, opens the door, goes to the washroom to clean her face, wash her face. While she's washing her face, somebody pats her from behind. And she turns back and see what happens. She finds Bhagwan standing there. So she's shocked. Bhagwan says, child, why do you cry? You wanted to see me? I have come. There's no need to come to Puttaparthi now. See, I'm here. Puttaparthi has come to you. And Bhagwan spent almost half an hour or so with her, talking to her, consoling her, making her happy. She was extremely ecstatic about it. And then Bhagwan says, now onwards, whenever you think I will come to you, I'll appear. So always be happy. She's very happy. Obviously, who won't be? If Lord wants to make you happy physically, who won't be? And then Bhagwan says, I will leave now, but I'm always with you. Remember that. The poor girl bows down to Lord and says, Bhagwan, I'm so grateful for you for coming and giving me this darshan. I'm so happy. I want to share this joy with my parents. But if I tell them, they won't believe me. They will say, I've lost my mind. Could you please help me so that they also believe? They can also feel the joy what I'm experiencing today. Bhagwan says, don't worry. He asked for her right hand. He kept his hand on her hand. And he says, look, she saw Bhagwan had signed on her hand. And the signature of Bhagwan was not on the hand. It was under the skin. So she could not even wipe it. Nobody could write it. It was not on top of the skin. If you lift the skin up, the signature is under it. It was signed like that. Swami said, now they will believe. Don't worry. And Bhagwan walked a few steps and disappeared. When the parents came, she showed. She was so ecstatic, she called from Parthi, from her home to Parthi, her friends. She says, Swami came to me. Now that's our Lord. He can do that. Nothing is impossible for our Lord. Are we ready to receive him? When I heard this, I thought, Swami, you don't come to my dream also. Come. But then I was sitting and wondering, if he comes to my room worthy of him? Forget about him coming physically, looking, you know, with a nice procession. If he just appears in my room, is it clean enough for him? Is it pure enough for him to sit? I have seen some devotees, old devotees of Bhagwan, they do no extra decoration of house. In olden days, Bhagwan used to walk into their houses anytime. So because Bhagwan could walk in anytime, they never locked their houses also. The houses were always open. In anticipation, Bhagwan could come anytime. So there, all the rooms were open. Today we have a problem. If you want to enter your daughter's or son's house, room, you have to knock and take permission, right? Imagine our Bhagwan walking into anybody's house and saying, hey, how are you? Can you imagine this? To live in that awareness that Lord is aware of me. Bhagwan puts it very beautifully. You have to be aware, not that I know. You have to be aware that I am aware of you. That's what he says. Be aware that I am aware of you all the time. Imagine living a life of that nature in which each thought was observed by him. I'm walking on the street and suddenly a bad thought crosses my mind. And imagine Bhagwan staring at your face, hey, you had a bad thought? Now, can you imagine living a life like that? We'll stop sleeping, man. We'll stop breathing. If that consciousness hits us to that extent, what will happen to us? Are we ready for Bhagwan? Because that is his expectation. That whatever we are, wherever we are we in that consciousness, awareness of him, that he is ours, watching, living with us? Can we share every moment of our life with him? Or do we have any shyness, any guilt hidden somewhere? And the beauty of it is that we can't just judge each other. It is a very personal thing with God and you and me. Only he knows and I know. And most of the time, he only knows. I also don't know about myself. I'm so messed up. I don't know what is happening to me. And he comes and stands in front of me, then whole life opens up. I say, oh God, I did this also. I didn't know that. One day I was sitting in Portugal. That was my first years with Bhagwan. First, he had only shown me his good part, you know, that he's smiling part of Bhagwan. So he like Kasturi Gaur used to tell us, he first hooks you with all these trinklets and smiles and loves. He hooks you, and then he cooks you. And then cooking continues for life, because we never improve, right? So cooking is continuous. So Kasturi Gaur used to very beautifully say, first he hooks you, and then cooks you. So cooking is continuing. So when he was hooking me, I was very excited, very happy. Bhagwan had come to me one few days before and stood in front of me and said, hey, did I give you? I said, what? He said, I didn't give you. I said, what, Swami? I had nothing. And he just created a chain and he put it on me. So I was on the seventh floor, you know, like seventh heaven, flying high. So I am the top of the world. I'm the best boy around. You can't beat me anytime. You know, that suddenly you reach that level and Swami is like, and that too he gave me in front of everybody. So that is an extra ego boost. So it all happened, and suddenly what happened? Bhagwan comes. He's standing in front of us. And you know, Bhagwan's face can change very fast. I'll tell you that story also, how he can change very beautifully. But suddenly he's changed, his face changes, and he says, bad boy. I said, Swami, it doesn't correlate. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking like, I was the best boy. He gave me a chain. Suddenly I became bad boy. Something is wrong. What did you do? And you won't believe it. I'm sitting in the front row. Obviously, my whole class is with me. So you can imagine classmates knowing your secret, what happens to your life. And that too, Bhagwan tells me what mistake I had committed some 5 years back, sitting in a corner of a room in a remote part of the world, when I was not even a student, not even come to Puttaparthi at all. In a small, young, eighth class, you did that. Chee! And he narrated the story in glimpses to me in front of everybody. Now, I'm not worried that he knows. I'm worried that my friends have come to know. Because imagine, once I turn back, these fellows are going to eat me alive. So I'm more worried about my colleagues here and not Swami. And I'm thinking, Swami, you have to tell here? You can call me inside and say all this. But he goes on, and he was quite loud. Trust me, I thought, oh God, I'm done today. He gave me for 5 minutes, gee, bad boy, don't bad habits, all that. He went inside. Now, I'm not even opening my eyes. I thought if I look around, these fellows are looking around. Not that they are clean. Nobody is, but, you know, there is a chance that, hi, here is an opportunity to rag this fellow. He pretends to be too good now. I caught you. So I'm just thinking, God, I'm done today. I'm sitting like that quietly, and Bhagwan, he went inside. After a few minutes, Swami came out of his room. Bhagwan came out, and I'm still closing my eyes because I had no guts to open my eyes. I'm like sinking inside the ground. I'm just going deep. I couldn't get up. And so we have a habit in each other. You know, when Bhagwan comes out, and if you are trying to meditate, sometimes, you know, we show that we are too meditative in pose. So people wake you up from your Turiya Nindra and say, get up, man, God is here. Yes, you know, you have to wake up right there. You know, said too much of meditation is not good here. So people nudge me from back, Swami is out. So I open my eyes slowly. Swami didn't look at me. He gave me a look like that, no, tough look, and went inside. Again, he walked around and then he went inside. When he went inside, because my eyes are open now, so I'm trying to look at my friends. I said, what is the reaction there? And suddenly this fellow says, hey, what was Swami telling you? Then I said, huh? He said, didn't you hear? He was whispering something to you, man. I said, thank you. I suddenly had a smile. I said, whoa, something good here. So I turned to this fellow, did you hear? Now I have guts to ask a question to him. Did you hear? He says, what? I said, thank you. So which means nobody else heard. He gave me and went. I said, thank God. So I was more worried about them, not about Bhagwan, because Bhagwan, I know, he knows, so big deal. I don't hide anything from him. But that day I made my conviction in my mind. I said, Bhagwan, today onwards, I will be the first person to tell you. Forget you telling me. I will only tell you that. Swami, I did this mistake. So you can't tell me. So I did that. Then onwards became a habit to tell him beforehand. So that's what Lord is. He gives you a glimpse at that point of time when you least expect. But then he enters your life. And he beautifully says, I'm waiting till you stretch, take one step. And once you give your hand to me, then afterwards, even if you want to remove, I won't leave you. You are stuck with me. Then I will hold you. But he says, take one step towards me. But our problem is we lift our hand and say, Swami, I have lifted my leg, so can you come 5 steps? Unfortunately, that doesn't work. You have to take the one full step and then see the flow coming forward. But we have, like, we go like this and then come back. We are not sure, should we go forward or not? That is the beauty of our Lord. He is waiting. He is waiting. That is a beauty. Even after many years, we go as a student, we pass out, then we have some family issues, people get married, children, all the blah, blah, we have 100 excuses, and we can justify him. And then when you go back, you find him still waiting. He starts from a day as if nothing has passed. There was one student with Bhagwan. Bhagwan sent him out of the place, first of all. He said, go, you have to work. Now that time, it hurts. He says, why Bhagwan is sending when I am following everything? Now retrospectively, when you think about it, if he does not do that harshness of sending us away, nobody would leave him. Who would leave such a loving God? So he has to create situations for us to get out, go to the world. And if we do not come out of that place, how will the new boys get chance? How will the other generations enjoy the same proximity with him? I'm sitting, I own this place. How will his love get spread? That awareness does not come when we are sitting at his feet. We just want to grab. We are selfish people. You know, he gives you an example. He says, you're like Bombay bus. Have you seen the Bombay train? I don't know how many of you have been to Bombay, but you must have seen the videos. Stuffed trains, right? People are finding like a place to put your feet inside. And then you're begging, hey, little man. And then you just jump inside, put your feet. Once your feet are inside, you struggle inside and go inside and stand. And then you find behind there is another person asking for help. Then you don't look. Because now you are inside. I don't know, man. I'm in. See what an attitude we have. Once we enter, we don't look back to hold another person's hand. We forget that a minute back, we were in that position asking for somebody to give hand. And we are cursing. Can't you give? Man, come on, little bit like, yeah. And now you are inside and you don't turn back to hold another person's hand. This is what our nature is. Very strange but sad. Bhagwan brings these thoughts in us, I don't know how, but uniquely he brings it out. So that we start realizing that life beyond our own limited view. And then we grow up with him. He starts with food, which is very strange, right? The lady said the way to man's heart is through stomach. But Swami says stomach is everybody's way. He first feeds you. He feeds you like crazy. Have you seen Swami eat? Very little. One day Bhagwan came out. I'll tell you, these are my few years, first year of that, so I didn't know much about it. Bhagwan came out of the room and he said, I had 2 puris today. So I am from north, you know, Punjabi puris are very famous. So I thought maybe he had a big one, you know, that Bhole Bhature puri. Even 2 is sometimes enough for me also, if you have nice curry and everything. The Bhagwan anyways doesn't eat much, so 2 puris must be great for him. And he went around the whole portico telling everybody, these boys inside, they forced me. They are just saying, see, I am so trim, they don't like it. They want me to grow fat. They are feeding me. So he kept on telling the whole portico. And I'm thinking, like, Swami, 2 puris only, enough, no problem. Yeah. Like, you don't understand why 2 puris is making so much of noise. I thought maybe, okay, he doesn't normally eat anything much, so 2 puris are good enough for him. So my thought of puri was, a real puri, you know, a big one. And after a few months, I had an opportunity to be inside, watch him, what he eats. And you know the size of his puri? I almost fainted. It is this much. It's one morsel of mine. I thought he had 2 that day, which was like a once in a blue moon kind of a scenario. They forced him. This size. And he went around telling the whole world, I had 2 puris. So first we have to have a relevance to what size of puri you're talking about, Bhagwan. It is this size. And normally he eats only on a top cover of that puri also. He eats nothing. And he says that your ananda is my food, he means it. But I can't say that. Your ananda is my food, I'll die. Your ananda should reflect in some food and I can eat. Then only I'll survive. So, but he has that style. He can say that he lives like that. But isn't it beautiful? To know, to be ready for Bhagwan, we need to know him, what he likes. Now you may say he's God, he likes everything. Very good philosophical answer. But physically, he has laid down certain rules. He has lived a life. He has shown us how to live a life. So there is a decorum. There is a routine. There is a protocol. Whatever happens, Suprabhatam doesn't change for Bhagwan, right? Never. Whatever happens, we receive him with certain protocol. Now people may say, he's coming to America, so I'll give him a flower and say, hi, Swami. It doesn't work like that. I give you a simple example. I say, suppose Dalai Lama comes or Pope comes. Can you just wish him as you want? There is a decorum for them. They have reached a stage wherein they deserve a certain kind of respect. So if a Pope comes, you can't say, hey, Mr. John Paul, can you say that? They'll shoot you live. He deserves to be called His Holiness, whatever his prefixes are. You can't say, Dalai Lama, hello, how are you? You have to go and address him as His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, whatever. They have reached a status and they deserve that. But we, somehow strangely, we so call our Bhagwan as Sai Baba. And we say, he's God, he'll understand. He understands our weaknesses also. But what stops us from giving him that due respect of calling him Bhagwan, Sri Sathya Sai Baba? It's our weakness. And then we wonder, we are ready for him. Then we wonder why he doesn't look at us. Then we wonder why he doesn't come to us. Are we ready for him? He deserves or not? So how do we call him? How do we address him? Because these are certain expectations which are normally built in with his form. Now when he comes physically, he won't come alone, right? He has a whole caravan with him. Thank God you're in America, so he'll take a flight maybe and he'll bring some 40, 50 people with him. But in India when he goes, he has a bus with him. He has like 50 students, then 20, 25 cars following him. All that are his people. And anybody who invites him has to feed them also. Swami narrated a beautiful story. Three people went to king. They did something great. And king asked them, ask me any boon, I'll give you. Whatever in my capacity shall be given. So the first person says, king, I want to have a palatial house with servants. King said, done. Get it made. So they go and give it. Another person says, king, I'm from a village which is very poor. I want you to build roads for my house, for my village. Build some interior roads, external roads connecting to the main highway and give some good lightings. King said, done. The third person says, what do you want? He says, king, I want that you should spend every year a month in my house. I want to host you. King said, done. Now this fellow is a poor fellow. He lives in a hut. Now when the ministers went to inspect his house, he said, hey, how can king live here? Are you nutcase? This village has no lighting, no roads. Your house is a hut. How can king live here? So what do? They renovate his house. They build a palace in his place. They make roads for his house, village. They put lighting. They did everything to make that whole village worthy of king to come. What an intelligent answer. Other people asked for one boon. He asked for a second. He asked for something different. Like Swami says, no? You have seen Vishnu and Lakshmi sitting? Bhagwan gives a very beautiful correlation of that. He said, look, where is Lakshmi sitting? At the feet of the Lord. And Lakshmi by nature is feminine. You can never catch ladies. Trust me. That is Bhagwan's words. They are like air. He says, if you chase Lakshmi, you'll never get her. She'll always slip out from somewhere other. But if you want her, what do? Get the master. She'll automatically fall at your feet. Because she's always attached to the master. So the problem is this. We do not ask the right question to Bhagwan. Our prayers get faulty. Bhagwan one day he warned us. He said, typically, don't pray unless you know what you're praying for. And then he says, especially in Pudapurthi, in Mandir, don't pray because you don't know what you're asking for. You may think I'm asking for heaven, but it may end up something different, boss. Trust is a different situation. Because we don't know what we're asking for. I'll give you a small illustration to it. A boy requested and prayed for Bhagwan that I should have a house. And in that house, I want to have a room for you that you can come and live. Is it a good desire or a bad desire? Fantastic desire, right? Phenomenal, correct? But the poor fellow did not want a house. He wanted Swami. But to fulfill that desire, he had to earn. He had to grow up to earn so much that he could have his house. He could have a room in the house which is dedicated to Bhagwan, decorated for him, then he can invite Swami. So imagine how many years he lost. In doing that, how many karmic effects he went through doing that. Bhagwan had to give him because he asked for it. Instead, what he wanted was, Swami, I want your company. But then he realized later when Bhagwan came, he said, you wanted it. But how much he had to undergo without realizing. We may feel sometimes we have asked for the right thing, but we don't know. So better to leave it at him. He is the best master to judge what he wants to give us. And he will give the best. No doubt about it. So the next question comes again. Are we ready for Bhagwan? In what manner? So to ask him also is a problem. Then you invite him. He has a caravan with him. So can you accommodate all the people? Then you may say, oh, center is very good. All the people are very loving. They'll take care of it. I know. I had a bhajan recently in my apartment, small apartment I had. So I thought I'll order in some food. Then my beautiful Sai family said, why? We'll cook. And so one auntie got volunteered and she said, I'll organize it. And they organized. Lovely meal was organized after my food. I said, man, at this rate, I can have bhajan every month at my place. Because I have nothing to do here. Right? The whole center is taking care of me. That love is enough. But again, when we invite Bhagwan, we have to keep this in mind. Out of my emotion, I may say, Bhagwan, come to my apartment. But is it worthy to invite the Lord? Is it really worthy for him to stay there? He may visit me, but can he stay? Because his respect, his protocol is much higher than my desire. His needs, his expectation, his requirements, he deserves something different than just my emotional need. Swami, come and stay, sit with me. The world is waiting outside and he spends some time with you. Isn't that he makes you so special? So are we ready for Swami? Actually, we did this exercise before also one way, but we could not do much here. But I'll just try to throw a thought at you guys. How many youths are here? If I may have raise of hands. Sisters, only 4? 5? 6? 7? It's like slowly getting up like that. Okay. I was just wondering if you want, we can just take a quick 11:30. Yes. 10 minutes. I would just say, if you can just reorganize maybe because youths are very less, so if they can come to one side of this place, I would give some topic to you guys for 10 minutes, not more. I know more time means you will start wondering about how to go about it. 4 minutes. And all the gentlemen who are sitting on the chair, elder sir, Sairam to all of you, I'll give you one topic and rest of the people here another topic. We can all discuss for 10 minutes and then think how we want to do it. Now there are four or five aspects to it. Are we ready to receive him as an individual? You may make a note of it mentally, no problem. Because we have to be ready first, right? Independently, we have to be ready. As a person, are we ready to receive him? Then as a family, are we ready to receive him? What does it mean to be ready to receive as a family? Okay? I'm not going to give you any answers because there are no right or wrong answers, but yeah, I'd like to have you guys think about a little bit what it means to be ready as a family. Can you say, I'm very devoted, I don't care for my children? Not possible, right? I don't know, my wife, she's going for shopping, but I'm going for bhajan. But then are you ready as a family? No. But maybe okay. No, other way around also. So are we ready as an individual? Are we ready as a family? Then are we ready as a center? Do we reflect Bhagwan as a center? Like somebody says, Swami is mine, and we have a problem here. Like we have a lot of confusion going on. We should not depict Swami as a Hindu god. I said, I was a little confused. I said, God can't be Hindu, Muslim, Sikh here. There's some problem here. God is God. There's nothing like Hindu and all that. And to reflect God, like Vivekananda says, he goes to somebody and says, they were talking about it. He said, if I need to know about automobile, I'll go to Germany and ask questions because they have spent lifetime discovering about it. But you, if you want to know about self, God, you got to come to me. Because that is my forte. Because my people have done research on it for lives. So there is nothing like right or wrong or good or bad. It is like who has spent time in that activity becomes authority on it. So by default, Godhood is the territory of certain area. Like Bhagwan says, you need a stage to perform drama. You can't go on the steps on the streets and expect the same delivery as on the stage. So the stage happens to be certain area. So, and that have given us certain things. So anyway, when we say about Bhagwan's altar, Bhagwan's dressing, Bhagwan's discipline, are we ready as a center? Then we move to the society. Are we ready as an organization? Now, if he comes to Chicago, he's not just coming to Chicago, right? All the areas around it gets affected. You become one. So as an organization, do we reflect him? Do we represent God as an organization? Are we worthy representatives of him? Can people look at us and say, hey, he's a Sai devotee because he conducts in a certain manner? Have we reached that status as an organization to receive him? That tomorrow when we announce, people can ask, who's Sai Baba? Which organization? Oh, that soup kitchen group? I don't know, but have we thought about it? So as an organization, are we ready for Bhagwan? And third, are we ready as a state, like as a country, to receive him? Because he deserves, right? He can't be scanned and sniffed out on this airport. He needs a presidential welcome, if not less, if not more. Green channel. So has the country been elevated to that level to receive the Lord to come? That when he comes, all the state authorities are on track, ready to receive him. Are we ready for Bhagwan in these aspects? Maybe you can take a few minutes and at least go through these five steps. Is it fair? I think we should do that. It'll be fun. And please come up with points. If not more, at least 5 points in each area. Can I have some papers to distribute in the group? One paper for each group will be enough. Do we have white papers? Thank you. Just take your time. It'll be fun. You may turn around in your group and maybe one person can volunteer in the each group. Maybe youths can come in the front here. Yeah, please. Can you pick up the papers from there? Sir, you all can turn around here. Maybe make a small circle or a like somebody says, Swami is mine, and we have a problem here. Like we have a lot of confusion going on. We should not depict Swami as a Hindu god. I said, I was a little confused. I said, God can't be Hindu, Muslim, Sikh here. There's some problem here. God is God. There's nothing like Hindu and all that. And to reflect God, like Vivekananda says, he goes to somebody and says, they were talking about it. He said, if I need to know about automobile, I'll go to Germany and ask questions because they have spent lifetime discovering about it. But you, if you want to know about self, God, you got to come to me because that is my forte. Because my people have done research on it for lives. So there is nothing like right or wrong or good or bad. It is like who has spent time in that activity becomes authority on it. So by default,